glad Jesus knows how to rescue us. Peter was a man. He walked on the water, tried to go to where Jesus was. He got his eyes off Jesus, and he started looking at the wind, and the waves got up on him. And he began to sink. And the Bible said he caught him. I'm glad when we're sinking, Jesus can catch us. You may be here this morning, you may feel like you're sinking. But praise God, there's one that can pull us out of it this morning. I want to give you a story this morning. I remember Brother Tom Hayes, he was here, and he preached a message. And he left, and he told us a little story, I remember, before he preached one of his messages here. And it was about a little boy who was out in the middle of a dirt road, and he was playing marbles. You know, and he began to play with his marbles right in the middle of dirt road. He's an old country little boy, and he just sat there and kept playing. And a salesman drove up in a big old black car. And in that big old black car, he got out, and he had on his fancy clothes. He had on his nice shoes. He had on a nice tie, you know. And he began, the little boy looked up at him, and the salesman asked him, he said, "How'd I get to the city from here?" And the little boy just kept playing with his marbles. He didn't answer him at first. Then all of a sudden, the man asked him, he says, "Son, did you hear me?" He said, "I asked you, how'd I get to the city from here?" And the little boy, he flipped another marble and he looked up at him. He said, "You just go down this dirt road, and you're going to go down up some hills, and you're going to go down through some valleys, and it's going to get bumpy, and it's going to get rocky, and you're going to feel like you're going to no place. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the dirt road, there's a graveyard on the right. And at that graveyard, it turns into asphalt. And from there, it's smooth sailing from there on in to the city." And the little boy told him how to get to the city. I thank God for down here. You know, it may look rocky and it may look bumpy, but I'm glad when we go over to the other side, I'm glad there's a graveyard. And from there, it's smooth sailing from there where we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at the story in Paul's life. I want to bring some things out here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. It said, "It's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth." I want you to know, first of all, this morning, there's only some things God knows. A lot of times we think we can study things, we think we can work things out. But I'm going to tell you, there's things in this Bible that only God knows. There's things in your life you're going to go through that only God can get you through it. And He only knows where you're walking through this morning. You may be walking through the lowest valley of your life. But I'm going to tell you, my pastor said it this week when he's preaching in that country church down there. He said, you may not know where God is, but I can tell you one thing, He knows where you're at. And I'm glad there's only some things that God knows, and some things are mystery that are in the Bible, and you may not be able to figure everything out, but I'm going to tell you, one day we're going to see face to face, and God's going to show us things that we tried to figure out down here on our own mind, and our little feeble and our weakness, and the things that God has set aside. But I'm telling you, God's going to open the door, and that glass that we see through darkly right now is going to be opened up, and we're going to be able to know some things. But right here, don't try to figure a thing out. Don't go on what you don't know. Go on what you do know. It says, "Such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in God, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself will I not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I want us to look at verse number 7 in this chapter here. And this is where I draw my text from this morning. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And I've entitled this morning, "I can't live with it, but God says you can't live without it." I can't live with it, but God said you couldn't live without it. We're going to find here Paul. Paul went through a lot of stuff in his journeys with God. And I'm going to tell you, you may be here this morning and you may think that you're in the lowest valley of your life and you may think that God's not on the page and God is not on the scene. But I'm telling you, He's there. Even though God, you may not see Him and you may not even feel Him, but I'm going to tell you, He's there. If you're a child of God, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And I'm glad God is by our side. And I'm glad He's never failed me. And I've heard this song. He said He won't fail me this close to home. A lot of us may think we're closer to heaven than others, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to get there on the same day because the Bible said there's never been a night there. I'm glad that I'm going to be there with you and I'm going to get there on the same day you do, because there had never been a night in that city. The Bible said the Lamb is the light thereof. But I want you to know Paul here, there was given something to him that the Bible said that he would not be exalted above all, that he wouldn't be puffed up, that he wouldn't become prideful, that God would keep him down on a plane where he could use him. A lot of people tried to figure out what this thorn in the flesh was. Some people say it was a spiritual temptations. Some people say it was carnal temptations. Some people say it was of his physical appearance. They said Paul was an ugly man. They said that it may have been epilepsy. It may have been migraine headaches. Or it could have been even his eyesight. And even sent to one of the churches in the epistles. And he said, "You see my handwriting is very large." And they thought that all he had suffered through his eyes. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible doesn't clearly define what that thorn in the flesh was. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost gave me. I said, "Lord, all these men of God, all these theologians, all these different people tried to figure out what this thing is that was a thorn in the flesh." A lot of people said it could even be his wife. And I say it won't be your wife, because God never put nobody by your side that was going to be a thorn in your flesh. When He created Adam and Eve, He pulled him from the side of the man. And I'm telling you, she became a helpmeet to him. God didn't create your wife to be a thorn in the flesh. You ought to throw that language away. But I want you to notice this. There was a thorn in the flesh given to him. And this is what the Holy Ghost showed me. He said, "Why didn't He define what that is?" And I'm going to tell you why. Because God, He's going to carry you through some things. And if He would have defined exactly what this thorn in the flesh was, we couldn't relate to it. Because if whatever Paul was going through, we would think we'd have to be going through the same exact thing Paul was going through before we could ever relate to this thorn in the flesh. And Paul, he said, it was a thorn in the flesh, it was a messenger of Satan. It was so Paul wouldn't be puffed up and become prideful, and where he would keep Paul on a plane where he could use him. I want us to notice this morning four things about this thorn, and I'll be through. The first thing I want us to look at this morning, you'll notice it was a thorn of affliction. It was a thorn of affliction. If you look down in verse number 5 here, it says, "Of such a one will I glory, yet myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." Paul found out that he could glory in his infirmities. I wonder this morning if you're glorying in your infirmities. You see, God's going to keep you down weak so He can be strong. A lot of times we'd like to say we can handle it. And a lot of times we'd like to say we can do it, because that's our nature. That's our human flesh. And our flesh says, yes, we can. But God says, no, you can't. You can't do it without Him. And a lot of Paul was going to have to figure this out. See, Paul loved competition. Paul loved sports. Paul loved all kinds of things that would keep him prideful in his life. See, this Paul, we find him, first of all, he was caught up into the third heaven. Paul had had an out-of-the-body experience to where he went up to the third heaven, and that's God's abode. And God said, I can't let him go around on this earth, because he'd be too heavenly-minded to be earthly good. Because Paul had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it was a thorn of affliction. He said he learned in glory in his infirmities. I want you to know, first of all, there was affliction by persecution. Paul was persecuted. And you'll notice in a lot of Paul's writings, you'll find him, he wasn't on the padded pew in a church house writing these epistles to you. He wasn't on a gospel bus driving around with air conditioning and writing things out to you so you could have them later on down the road. I'll tell you where he wrote all his writings. He wrote them in a deep, dark prison. He wrote them in places where he'd been beat, where he'd been persecuted, where he'd been spit on. The Bible said he was naked in some places where they stripped him of his clothes. Paul found himself in shame, and out of that shame, God will use him to give us things today that will get us down the road. I hear to say this morning, our church hadn't seen persecution here in America like Paul has seen it over in his days. I'm here to tell you this morning, there are missionaries today suffering and are being persecuted across this nation, across this world, because of this gospel that I'm teaching about this morning. He found that it was a thorn of affliction. And it was by persecution. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, says this. He said, this is Paul writing. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Paul found out this life of serving Christ was a life of persecution. But look in what he said. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. For every trouble that he had been put into in that passage, he said he had a way to counteract it. He counteracted everything that the devil and his crowd brought against him, all the temptations, all the persecutions, and everything that everybody had thrown against him. He found a way to combat it. And I'm going to tell you, in your Christian walk, people's going to persecute you. I never will forget when I first started working. I got saved, and I started inviting people to church. And there was a man. He was older than me. He was in his early 40s, and he had a son that was about my age. And he worked at the grocery store, and he was almost blind. And I said, I'm gonna invite this guy to church, you know. And I began to talk to him, and he found out he was a preacher, and, you know, and his eyesight was bad, and he just needed somebody to carry him to church because he couldn't drive. He was legally blind. And he worked there with us. He sacked groceries with us. So I began to take him to church. And his son would always come up to me. And every time he'd see me, he called me this. He said, you're just a holy roller. And that was his term for me. And I tell you what, I enjoyed the hound out of calling me a holy roller. See, God will let you walk through your persecutions. He'll let people talk about you. And for his sake, for his glory. And you'll some of the closest times in your life that you'll walk with God is when you're persecuted. Paul was going to find this out. He's going to find when people was talking about him, when people was casting stones at him, that he could walk with God, and it would increase his walk with God. So don't count it all. The Bible said if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Paul here, he learned to combat his persecutions. Not only was it a thorn of affliction by persecution, it was also by punishments. You remember over in Acts chapter 16, you'll find that you'll find the story of Paul and Silas. You remember there's a little girl there that brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, and that by the spirit of divination. You say, what does that mean? That means she was a fortune teller. That means she was a palm reader. These people that you see, and I'm gonna tell you, if you don't go to a palm reader, that's not right. It's out of hell. Those people do have power. They don't have all power. They have power of the devil. But I'm going to tell you, this girl had brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, and Paul and Silas had been able to bring the gospel to her, and she got saved, and she no longer was able to bring her masters much money because they had cast the devil out of her, and she wasn't able to do that anymore. And I tell you what happened, they cast Paul and Silas into prison, and they learned in their punishments. See, in Acts chapter 16, verse 23, it says, when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. You see, Paul was fixing to be punished. You see, a lot of times we think of punishment, we only think of what we've done wrong. See, Paul was doing everything he knew to do was right. And for that, he was being punished. And we find him in this story that he got cast into the inner prison. That was the place nobody wanted to go. It wasn't the place where they had the TV where you sat down and watched in prison. It wasn't the place where it was air conditioned. It wasn't the place where you could go and look out the window. It was the inner prison. It was a place where you couldn't see anything but darkness. And Paul found out that even in the inner prison that God could show up. I heard a man preaching this week. A man in our church shared a CD with me. And it said in this story, Acts chapter 16, he said the prisoners were not trying to break out of jail. It's just God was trying to break in. And I'll tell you what happened here in Acts chapter 16. It said in verse number 25, it said, "And at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to sing praises." I wonder, can we sing praises this morning when God, when we're being punished for the work of God? Do we still have our song when we're being punished? You see, people around you are looking for you to have a song. The people around you are looking for you to do right when the world is coming against you. A lot of times in my life, the first thing we want to do in our human nature, when the world comes against us, they want to push us. We want to do this. We want to push back because it's in our nature. This old nature wants to fight a lot of times. You say, "Well, you're a Sunday school teacher. Would you fight somebody?" I don't know. You give me half a chance and I might. Because it's in me. Like my pastor said, it's in me. Somebody pushes me, I want to get up and push them. But Paul learned that in his punishment, God would show up. And in Acts chapter 16 and 23, the very people that laid the stripes on him, you remember what happened over in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas, they began to sing praises. Don't know what songs they sung, but I tell you what it did. God sent an earthquake in there, and it loosed the prison bars, and it freed all the gates of the prison flung open, and all those prisoners could have escaped. But you know what? They wasn't Baptists because they was all caught up in the singing. They had Holy Ghost singing, and they didn't probably even notice that the prison doors had opened up. But I tell you what happened. An old jailer noticed it was open. And I tell you what he thought. He thought that he was going to get killed because those prison doors opened, because he had been charged to hold those prisoners in that prison. Let me tell you what happened. The very man that lay stripes over in verse number 23 was the same man that the Bible said the light sprang in. And he went in there to Paul and Silas and he said this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said this. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and all thine house." And the very man that was laying stripes on Paul was the very man that got saved, and he was washing those stripes. And he was putting anointment in there. You know, he's putting some salve on his wounds to kind of try to cure him. The very person, I tell you who makes a good Christian, the ones who's persecuting you. You get those boys saved, and I tell you what, they'll be on your side. The very people that I used to say stuff about. My brother was one of the finest men of God I ever knew. You say, was he famous? No, he wasn't famous. But I tell you what he did, he lived a life in front of me. And I tell you, people persecuted him. They'd spit on him, you know, for preaching the Word of God. But I want to tell you this, there's things I remember of him, and the little things, the little salve, the persecution, the people that he won to Christ, the people that was against him all of a sudden began to rub salve on the wounds that they had caused on him. The very people, and preacher, same thing with you, some people that have hurt you and have cut you and gnashed you is the very people that may have got saved, and now they're rubbing salve on your wounds from being punished for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the affliction by persecutions by punishments. I want to notice this: affliction by pains. Look up in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. It says this in verse 23. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffer shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in a city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Let me tell you, Paul learned that there was affliction by pain. If you'll notice there, he said he was beaten. There in verse number 25, it says, verse 24, it says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That's 39 stripes. Now, I dare to venture in here, there ain't been many people that's been striped 39 consecutive times. Paul said he had that happen to him 5 times. You know what they did? The very man that knew the law went up against the law is if you'll look over, you don't have to turn there, but if in your own reading, you can read over in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 1 through 3. What they would do is customary, whenever there was a controversy between men, they'd bring the righteous one and the wicked, and they'd bring them before the judges, and the judges would figure out how many stripes that those people needed for their punishment. The most that a man could get was lawful would be 40 stripes. And if a man beat somebody above 40 stripes, then he'd be vile to that man he was beating. So a lot of times people, when they went to beat, they'd make sure that they didn't hit that 40 number. So they'd stop at 39 to make sure that they wasn't vile unto their brethren. You know, and Paul said five times he was beaten like that. You know, the law, he knew the law. Paul knew the law. And Paul was punished, and his very thing that he was afflicted by was his pain. You see, David said this, and a lot of times we wonder why God chooses to use affliction among us. David said this in Psalm 119:67. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Where will we be today without any pain in this Christian walk? There's no telling. I probably wouldn't even be here this morning if there wasn't any persecution, if there wasn't any punishments, and there wasn't any pain. But I'll tell you what Paul said. He said, "This thorn that was among me was a thorn of affliction." Secondly, Paul found out not only was it a thorn of affliction, it was a thorn of abasement. You see, the very thorn that Paul had would bring him low. Bring him low. Paul was a man that wanted to win. Paul was a man that you wanted to have on your team. Paul was a man that didn't want to give up. A lot of times in Paul's writings, he would talk about races. He would talk about, you know, competition. He said, "Run a good race. You know, there's prize set before you." You know, and Paul was a man that always wanted to win. But I tell you what God was going to teach him. God was not going to teach Paul how to win. He was going to teach him how to lose. If you remember in Acts chapter 9, number 9, we find where Paul was saved on the Damascus Road. The Bible said he got saved, and he was sent in Acts chapter number 8 to persecute the church is what he was going to do. And on his way up into Jerusalem, he was on the Damascus Road. God said, shined a great light upon him, and he got gloriously saved. He said, "It's hard for me to kick against the pricks." And I tell you what he did. He sent a man named Ananias. He said, "Go." Ananias was a disciple there at Damascus, and he had seen the Lord in a vision, and he said, "Go up and help Paul out." And Ananias did just like me and you. He said, "I don't know if that man got saved. He's coming to beat the church up." We said, "We heard about that man. That man's got a reputation of beating Christians, for stoning Christians, for killing Christians, and keeping them bound." He said, "I ain't going to help that man." And God come to him again. He said this in verse number 15, Acts chapter 9, he said, "Go thy way." This is the Lord speaking to Ananias. He said, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him great things. He must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias said, "I can't do it." But God said, "Go." And Ananias went and touched Paul. And the Bible said that when he touched Paul, his scales fell from his eyes. And the Bible said that Paul received meat and was strengthened there that day. I'll tell you why he was strengthened. He was strengthened for his sufferings that he would suffer. He said that he show him great things. He must suffer for my name's sake. You see, I'm not teaching today a health and wealth gospel. I'm teaching one of lowliness. See, Paul thought he could always win, but God wasn't going to teach him that he could always win. God was going to teach him it was all right to lose. See, in our Christian walk, we always want to win. We always want to come out triumphant, but I'm going to tell you, you can be triumphant when you're losing. See, my son, he plays basketball, and I always notice this. He's young. He plays with a young group. And I tell you this, whenever they start losing, you know what they do? They're ready to throw in the towel. They get down a few points at their age, they're ready to throw in a towel. And I'm telling you, here in the church house, a lot of times you get down, you want to throw in the towel. God said that you could lose and still win. Amen. You see, God's stuff don't always make sense to us. But God taught Paul that he could lose, but he could also win. It was a thorn of abasement. It would bring him low. Not only would it bring him low, it would bring him little. In Philippians 4 and 12, it says this, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to be outbound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." See, not only was God going to teach Paul he could be low, but he's going to teach him he needed to be little. You see, Paul was a man that got caught up in the third heaven here. Paul, if he was preaching today, he could come here today and say, I saw the Lord, how come y'all didn't see him? I got caught up into the third heaven. You know, I've seen things that man couldn't utter. How come y'all hadn't seen that? Y'all must not be saved. Paul, but God said, you can't go in there and do that. That's why he said it was, whether or not he didn't know, but God knoweth. See, he's going to bring Paul low so he could use him. He's going to bring him down on a plane where he can minister. And Paul had a natural burden for the Jews. There in Acts chapter number 9, where he got saved at, the Bible said he straightway went in there to try to preach the gospel in the synagogues. And I tell you, the very people that he had the burden for sought to kill him. The Jews sought to kill him. And the Bible said they let him down through a basket. You see, a lot of times God's not going to let you win. I hate to break that news to you, but he's going to let you lose. Not that he would have dominion over you, but that he would teach you that you don't have to win. You don't have to win to be a winner with God. You see, a lot of times in my life I thought that I had to win, but God most of the time is teaching me how to lose. Not only that, you'll see that he was a basement to bring him low, it was a basement to bring him little, but it was a basement to bring him loss. He said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. He said, but what things were gained in me, I counted loss for Christ. You see, Paul in chapter number 3 was given his pedigree. He said he was of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said he was a Pharisee concerning the law. You see, those Pharisees knew the law. They knew exactly what to do about the law. And Paul said there's nothing in him that he could glory about. See, Paul had one of the finest educations you could offer. And he had studied that stuff out, and he knew all that stuff. But he said, those things I counted gain to me, guess what they were for Christ? They was but dumb, but they was lost. He said they was lost to me. Paul said it was a thorn of abasement. I'm going to skip my third point. I will let you know it was a thorn of appointment. But lastly, not only that, it was a thorn of alteration. You see, this very thorn that God was going to give Paul in the flesh was a thorn that was going to alter his life. It was a thorn that was going to let him walk through some things down the road. It was some things that was going to let God open the windows of heaven on Paul's ministry and let God use him greatly. But it had to be a thorn of alteration. You see, a lot of times we go through this thing and we wonder what's going on. I tell you what God is doing. He's altering you. You see, God's not going to take the way of the thorn that's piercing your side. But I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to give you strength to bear it. You see, a lot of times we get down and we pray things and we say, God, remove this thing from me. Lord, remove this mountain that we may climb. But I tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to give you strength to bear it. You see, a lot of times we pray foolishly and we pray that God will remove stuff from us that he never intended for us to remove. He put it there for our own good. Because Paul said this. I said, I can't live with it. But God said, you can't live without it. Not only that, you'll see it was an alteration in his strength. Look down in verse number 9. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, a lot of times we love to be strong. But I tell you what God said. He said, you get weak, and I'll be strong. A lot of times we want to do things in our own strength, and we want to bear stuff up. And God's given us all a cross. I want you to know this morning, God said, take up your cross and follow him. And he's going to give you strength to bear that cross up. Not only the strength, the alteration in strength, but he gave him alteration for the storm. Look down at verse number 10. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then he said this over in chapter 13, verse number 9. He said, for we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this we wish even your perfection. I want you to know God let Paul walk through some alterations. So some of the storms that he was going to face down the road, he'd know his grace was there. Not only the storms that Paul was going to replace, but I'll close with this point. The alteration of the sufficiency of God. I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. Look back up in verse number 9. He said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, what does the word sufficient mean? The word sufficient means enough. I want you to know this morning that Calvary is enough. I want you to know his grace is enough. I want you to know Jesus is enough. I want to know the church is enough. I want you to know this Bible is enough. This right here has got all the answers, and it is sufficient. Why didn't the Bible say clearly what the thorn in the flesh was? He wanted you to know that whatever you was walking through, It would be enough. His grace was sufficient. One of the songwriters put it this way. It says, "When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys, He leads me as afraid as I could be until I felt His loving arms embracing me." And it said this in the second stanza. It said, "How could I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe? Why would I ever question His ability? There's no place that I can go where He doesn't know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and exactly what I need." It says this in the chorus. It says, "I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times. That puts my mind at ease. I'll stake my very life. He's going to take care of me because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me." Job said this. Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." I wonder this morning, you may be walking through some thorns, and you may be trying to figure out what that thorn is. But I want you to know this, God's grace is sufficient, and it will be enough to go through whatever you're walking through. Thank y'all for your attention this morning.